His name's Kellen Prowse, and he's next.
And now, from the legendary Studio B, so you're in Seattle with Gregor.
Before meeting Kellen, I honestly had very little understanding of what multiple sclerosis actually is. Talking to him really opened my eyes. One thing I know for sure is that people in the Pacific Northwest have a lot of occurrences of it, and that's pretty frightening. There's like suggestion that maybe it's attached to a vitamin D deficiency, something that happens when it's so gloomy all the time around here. Kellen's got way more information about it for me, and will help open our eyes a little bit about what it's like to live with MS and still be badass. That's exciting. Yeah, right. Kellen, man, it's unfortunate that we meet under these circumstances because that's not a nice way to start a conversation, I guess. But you were here once before and we tried to do all this before.
Right.
Then I'll put a clip in right here of what went wrong. So when they say progressing, is it because it's getting worse in you?
Yeah. So for me,
and
how terrible it was.
Sounds terrible. The official reason I got was, well, why didn't you reboot the computer first?
And
you should
obviously know that.
Because it's 2015 and they should just work.
Right.
Like they do every other day all the time. That's just one of those things that happens and you just have to live with it. So
right.
I kind of already know the answers to a lot of the questions that I want to ask you, but some time has passed since the last time we talked.
Sure.
And so things are a little bit different. So let's start out. You are a blogger who unfortunately is afflicted with multiple sclerosis.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start out with what multiple sclerosis is. We'll call it MS a lot.
Yeah, we'll go with MS. It's a tongue twister the other way.
Yeah, exactly. And this will actually come out on the last day of MS Awareness Month.
Sure.
So snuck in under the wire.
We made it happen. Yeah. We made it happen.
So what is MS? I now know, but it still blows my mind to hear it talked about.
Sure. So it's a chronic disease, and it's actually an autoimmune disease where my own body is attacking itself.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So your nerves have a coating on them, which is...
pew, pew, pew!
Right?
That's your body attacking itself.
Yes. I love it.
Anyway, so your nerves have a coating on them.
Yeah. It's called myelin.
Yeah.
And your body attacks it and breaks it down. So... when your brain is sending signals to all your nerves down your spinal cord and all that, the signal doesn't pass all the way through. So similar to you get a frayed headphone cord.
Which is the worst. It happens all the time here.
Right.
I mean, it's the worst in terms of audio, not in terms of life, I guess.
Right. It's the worst thing that could happen in life ever.
Ever. I just had to replace my $16 headphones last week. It was nuts.
Right.
So it's like when you plug in a headphone and it gets frayed at the end there.
Yeah, sure. Like right at the connector.
Yeah.
And then
there's
it starts
like a
cutting
weak spot
out
there. Yeah.
And then you start losing signal. Same type thing.
Only for me, I go to QFC and buy a new $16 pair of headphones.
Correct.
For you, you can't just go and buy a new $16 nervous
I'm
system.
I'm stuck with it. And for some reason, our bodies are super amazing at a lot of things, but. Yeah. Repairing myelin is something that they cannot do, which is interesting. So multiple sclerosis actually stands, multiple scars. Sclerosis is scarring.
Oh, fancy language.
Yeah, right? So MS attacks your nerves and it leaves these scars on your nerves, which build up and you can't pass signal. So it could be not... it can restrict the flow, so you get some feeling, or you'll get no feeling. Like right now...
this present moment.
At this moment, like my left arm is like completely numb.
How high up?
Almost to the shoulder.
So like you're wearing like, short sleeve shirt, so you're talking about like, to the cuff length there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and the hand is the worst, so like I can't even reach in my pocket and pull something out because I can't feel it. And the funny part is I'll be like trying to stick my hand in my pocket, but I won't have all my fingers in the pocket. So I'm like, I get frustrated trying to stick my hand in there.
It takes me back to playing like football or something. Someone throws the ball and it only hits two of your fingers and they bend the wrong way. And gross.
Yeah, so can't pick anything up out of my pocket or anything like that.
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
No, I'm right-handed, which is great. But believe it or not, I had no idea how many things you use your non-dominant hand for.
Of course.
Right? Because... when you pick something up, you usually pick it up with your strong hand.
Well,
your strong hand.
Yeah.
And then you use your non-dominant hand for little tasks.
Oh, like unscrewing the lid off of a pop or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or if you were wielding a shield, you would use your left hand and then your right hand to operate your sword, perhaps.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I got you there.
Yep.
Yeah, you're actually not on microphone back there, Tucker. So if you want to come up here and say that, though, go ahead. We got Tucker in studio. What did you say?
Well,
come on, all the way.
I'm holding it like he just said.
He's dressed as Link from Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you've got a shield in your left hand.
Yep.
And then what's in your right hand?
My sword.
Okay, will you protect us while we're doing the interview, please?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. We've got protection while we're doing this because we got Dad who has trouble with his left hand, so his shield hand is weak.
Right.
But your sword hand is strong.
So I have a bodyguard with me at all times.
Smart. That's a smart move.
I decided to go with Link.
To give a little bit of clarity into what's going on here, you guys are in town for Emerald City Comic Con, which is happening all weekend. So when this comes out, it'll already be over.
Right.
But where do you live?
We're over in Bremerton.
Okay, so you took the ferry from Bremerton and sang the MXPX song, which must get so old hearing that. But
Anyway,
so your left hand is the one that's kind of shutting down on you here a little bit. What is it like? What does it feel like? Can you help us understand what it might seem like? I know that you say you can't feel going into your pocket.
It's almost like wearing a really thickly padded glove or something.
Oh.
So like
like mittens or something.
Yeah, almost like a mitten, and it's weird. And then it also not having all the nerve signal, it also makes the muscles weak. Yeah. So, like, you know, when you fall asleep on your arm all
this
wonky.
This is exactly what I was going to say.
You fall asleep on your arm all wonky, and then you freak out because you can't move it.
Yeah.
That's almost exactly what it feels like.
I thought of you recently because that very same thing. I'd, like, fallen asleep in a weird position next to my girlfriend or something like that, and I woke up and I was, like, dead arm.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Oh. Is it tingly?
Yeah. Different levels of it all over. So, and then I have the tingles
in the leg.
For me, I
just like sit up straight and it's like it comes back or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Well, and it's weird because it does do that tingle where it's like it's almost coming back, but then it just stays like that forever. And with MS, when you have a flare up, is kind of what they call it because there's different kinds of MS. There's the relapsing, remitting, where you get a flare up and then hopefully in a couple weeks or a couple months, it'll kind of die down and you'll go back to normal.
But yours is different, right?
Yeah, I'm a little more on the progressive side, so when I do have a flare-up, I don't go all the way back to 100%, so a little bit of that flare-up hangs on. So it's kind of like stepping up, you know, every time I have a flare-up, a little more hangs on.
How often are the flare-ups?
For me, about, I don't know, 3 to 4 times a year.
Okay, so not every day,
not every day,
every
but
week, but
this current one I've been battling since November last year.
Wow, so it's
and
almost
it's,
April, so that's 4 or 5 months or something like that, 4 months.
Yeah, and it hasn't been the same symptoms the whole time.
Okay.
It kind of rotates through, so it started with my vision being messed up because it affects the optic nerve.
What does that look like? Like,
so
when
that,
you see stuff, what
yeah,
it like?
That it's it takes all the saturation out, so colors aren't bright and it's dim, almost black and white.
Wow.
Yeah, and then really hazy.
Oh, so it's not
so
sharp
no detail,
anymore?
No sharpness, and then no like really bright colors or anything like that.
Link over here probably can get away with murder when you're on watch,
right? Yeah, he can.
First of all, I gotta apologize because I'm making jokes and cracking wise or whatever here, but you seem like the type of dude that can roll with that. And
yeah,
I'm not trying to
make
light of it, but at the same time, if we can discuss it real and I can.
Right.
Treat you like I would regardless if you had it or not. I feel like it gives us a little more honesty in our discourse.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what has made having something that this terrible, you know, kind of it's made it fun, you know, when you can make jokes at inappropriate times.
Of course.
That's my
life,
wife is
man.
Great at that.
Yeah,
my
right.
wife, producer Meg, is great at making those inappropriate jokes.
Now, you just recently got to travel to Los Angeles to be an advocate for this. I'm really curious to know the purpose of why you come and do this, why you come and sit with me, and why you go to LA.
Sure.
Like, what are you trying to achieve by doing that?
Sure. It's kind of I don't know if I would call it an advocate for MS. I'm not like,
everyone
hey,
should
go
get MS,
get MS you know? But it's I'm trying to raise awareness.
I'm definitely going to hell now.
Yeah,
it's like,
right?
It's
right?
all over for me. Sorry.
But it's about raising awareness. every time I talk to somebody, I find out they know somebody who has MS, or they've met someone who has MS. But it's a lot of people don't know the details of it and what it looks like and what it does to people. And the other part of what I'm trying to do is show people what disabilities can and can't look like. I mean,
yeah, because let's talk about you real quick. You're like a skater looking dude. You got your chucks on with your black laces, a great look.
Right.
I gotta do that myself. I gotta put some black laces in.
Yeah, can't go wrong.
And then like some sort of like a shirt. There's just like some skateboarding shirt or something like that. And then some tattoos and some F holes on your neck there, and like the piercings and everything. You're just like a regular kind of like, you know, 30-year-old dude or something like that. Yeah. What did you do before you were afflicted?
I worked at a theatrical staging house, so we rented out staging and lighting equipment.
Yeah, so light and sound and stuff like that? Yeah, exactly. So it's like right in the wheelhouse of what people that I think are associated with the end specifically, and kind of Seattle in general. You just look like a Pacific Northwest dude.
Yeah.
But yet you're afflicted with it. You're not some sort of stereotype of somebody that we would a caricature that we would give to somebody as a rude culture or whatever. You're just a guy that you'd be like standing next to in the store getting some new shoes or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about MS is it's not something that people can usually see. It's pretty internal. Now I do walk with a cane, so having my cane is kind of like the face of my MS.
It's not just because you want to look like a badass.
Yeah,
though.
No, I'm not just pimping.
You're not in a Rancid video from 1998 or something. Yeah.
And people seem to not be scared to ask me about my cane, because most of the time people think that I hurt myself like skateboarding or snowboarding or something like that. So,
what'd you do? Did you sweet heel flip or something like that?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I mean,
twisted my ankle.
No, my nervous system did a heel flip that didn't land so well.
Yeah,
sorry.
Right.
Let's talk about the cane then, real quick.
Sure.
We'll get back to advocacy here in a second, but you've got this. We'll come back to the cane in a minute.
Okay.
I'm changing my mind as we go.
Hey, that's
so
fine.
So, you wanna be a mouthpiece, it sounds like, for people with MS to show that like you can have a fun, like a consistent life. Like you didn't have to completely change everything. You didn't have to lose your identity. Sure, you changed or whatever.
Yeah.
So you go to LA to like do something with that.
So like I reached out to you guys at the end. I reached out to the National MS Society and said, "Hey, I started this blog and I'm writing about my MS and trying to encourage others to just get out there and live life." And they said, "Hey, that's cool. We're shooting a video for people who are newly diagnosed with MS, and we'd love to fly you down to LA and be in the video."
You're the perfect guy to do that, man, because you're not buttoned up. You're not like you don't look straight. I mean, you're a nice enough guy and you seem like you got your head on straight, but you don't look like just a straight laced square or something like that.
Yeah, right. Well, and it was cool. They brought the whole family down. We were all in it, and I did an interview.
Tucker, did you travel as Link? Okay.
No.
All right. So
we had Link in the car though, just in case.
Just in case someone needed a princess needed saving, we had someone there for it.
Right.
So you get to go down and shoot video and stuff. And what's your part in that?
My part was they interview me to kind of just talk about my MS and how it's affected me and how my life has changed and what people can expect when they've been newly diagnosed, to kind of help people through that transition of, okay, you've been diagnosed with MS, now what?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause a lot of people, even myself, I had no idea what to do.
Yeah, right.
I didn't realize that there was all these communities out there of super awesome people.
How long did it take you to find those communities?
I just started probably last year.
How long have you been diagnosed?
I was diagnosed in 2010.
So 5 years almost?
Yeah, so I've had it for almost 5 years. So it took me almost 4 years to really reach out and say, "Hey, I'm here." There's that beginning, that intro to MS was tough, though, getting through that diagnosis and trying to learn or even just
like transition almost.
Yeah, that transition of how my life was changing. Because that first year, I went downhill really quickly.
Then
by the second year, I was on Social Security disability.
I mean, you got it, though, right?
Well, and I was commuting, you know, I was catching the ferry and, you know, commuting down to South Seattle. And it was just, it was too much, you know.
Let's talk about having MS a little bit here then. Like, you get it, and you're trying to help other people understand what it was like when they got it and kind of what to expect. MS is kind of unique to every person that gets it, though, right?
There's no, like, standard progression. That's not, like, phase one, phase two. It affects every person differently.
Yeah, it's not like when someone here in the office gets a cold, and then we all get the same cold, and it all takes 4 days to go right. through, and then 2 weeks to get rid of. Like, it's like, you might have a bad outbreak one day, and it lasts for a few months, and then you're never the same.
Right.
Or you might have an outbreak for a shorter amount of time and be okay.
Sure. Yeah. Some people get a lesion in a certain spot and they get a little numbness in their legs or their arm. After a little bit, it kind of goes away and then they might not ever have any other symptoms. For me, even on the medication for MS, I've still continued to gain or still continue to get new lesions, which is, it's bummer, but I try to just keep going.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you have a real good attitude about it, doing stuff like this and advocating.
Sure.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't always like that, though, when you first found out. Were you all chipper and sunshine you are now?
No, I wasn't. It was rough. There was a lot of, the beginning, there was a lot of tears, man. Before I was actually diagnosed with MS, I had been seeing a pain doctor for my back because I have some lower back issues, and they were doing epidural steroid injections into my spine and trying to get things all straightened out. Which
that ever get fixed?
No, that never got fixed. And
two
then,
problems,
right? So they were doing some MRIs, and then they saw the lesions on the spine, and then they didn't quite know what the lesions were at the beginning, so the doctor comes in and we're talking about it, and he's like, okay, well, I don't know exactly what it is, but it could be cancer on your spine, or it could be lesions from MS. We're not sure. And then it was like the holiday break, Christmas time, so then I had to wait like 10 days till I got in to see another doctor.
Let me tell you, that's great sleep that you were getting those 10 days,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, so that was... That intro to MS was, you know, pretty rough. And then you're like, well, what do I hope for? You know, do I flip a coin? And luckily my family, my wife and my son have been there through everything. They went to every appointment.
Oh, wow.
And they've always been there. And that having support has been like huge.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing it alone, then, even though you might be I bet you there's days where you're kind of a jerk about it, and you feel defeated and stuff. And, producer Meg over here has got to be probably pretty tough to keep that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so the blog I write is Wheels in Red.
Yeah.
Wheelsinred.com.
Sure.
So,
this is a blog you've started to get some awareness out and just to share your experience, right?
Right. So we came up with that name from... I was all down in the dumps and being all depressed and
of course as you should be
crying in my cereal and
why wouldn't you be
right? And producer Meg looks over and she says, "Hey, what's the worst that can happen? Like, we start a rad indie or you end up in a wheelchair and we start a rad indie band called Wheels in Red because producer Meg is redhead, so I'm Wheels, she's Red, and that was one of the best inappropriate time jokes that has stuck with us. So
sometimes you need a little levity there, man. Just something to puncture the heaviness.
Yeah.
And deflate things a little.
You know, we were talking about a wheelchair at a year and a half of having MS is a little ahead of schedule for most people. They say most people kind of transition to progressive MS around the 10-year mark. And I've been ahead of schedule, but I'm kind of moving into it about the 5-year mark.
Oh man, that's the one time in your life where you didn't want to be ahead on something.
Right.
Wow, that's it's heavy stuff, man. It's crazy that you talk about it with such ease that you can like just let us know about it so confidently.
Sure.
I'm sure there's times where maybe that's not the case, and so maybe maybe writing it out helps you get some of the emotion out. Or?
Yeah. The writing is great. It's been something that has really helped me work through a lot of things. And it's also a way for me to kind of have a journal that I can look back on, because we love to go out and adventure around the Pacific Northwest.
And there's no reason you should stop just because you have an affliction, right?
Yeah. So having that journal, that adventure log to look back on, not only for me, but for Tucker and anyone else who wants to read and follow along.
It's amazing. And the response has been positive.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's been super, super positive. I launched it at the end of January, and here we are at the end of March, and I've already been to L.A., and I'm here talking to you, and everyone's been super pumped.
That's, man, that's so excellent. That's yeah. Cool. What's changed about your life where you're like, damn, I'm bummed that I can't do that anymore?
Well, my role as a husband and a father is like completely different than what a normal 30-year-old dude
you're
is.
You're an extra child now.
Yeah, yeah, no, for
poor
real.
Meg.
Yeah, extra child. So I don't work.
You and Tucker can read comic books together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'm home, but I mean, it helps us. Like, we unschool, so Tucker's at home all the time, and we do that. But even little things, so, you know, getting up, going to work, or, you know, with my bum hand, like, I have to have Meg button my shirts and button my pants and, you know, things like that.
A lot of sweatpants and t-shirts at the house,
oh,
huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. PJ day.
Yeah, every day is
every
PJ
day.
Day when you've got MS, I guess.
Yep.
Oh, man. So, like, you can't work anymore, though? Like...
Yeah, so the funny thing about MS is the more rest I get, the better I feel. But, right?
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Right? I get rest and then I'm like, oh, dude, I'm feeling great. And then I go out and I start doing more. And then the more I do, it just kind of kicks up the inflammation and then I go right back into it. So...
Gotta be a little more measured about your life then.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Ooh.
Like, yeah.
How about medicine, man? I know that there's a couple different ways that you can probably go with this. One of them is a little more modern in its approach, I'm sure. The recent legalization of marijuana in Washington State, not federally, but just here. Is that something that can help you?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely use cannabis for my MS, for sure. It's been something I've used for, I don't know, probably 4 years since I've... A year after my MS was diagnosed, I came over here to Virginia Mason and saw their leading MS specialist. And she was like, hey, if you think it's something that'll help you, they had no problem. So I have a medical recommendation for cannabis from Virginia Mason, which is pretty cool.
Now, look, I know plenty of knuckleheads that have a medical recommendation for medical marijuana, okay? and that really just becomes a way for them to buy all their friends' pot or whatever.
Sure,
but
sure.
Does it benefit you, or are you just being a knucklehead and using it because you have an excuse?
Well, honestly, at first, I wasn't sure how it was going to help me because I had quit using, you know, obviously, you know, we all smoke plenty of pot as we're teenagers, and then...
I do not know what you're talking about. I'm a saint.
Yeah, we all are. and then I found alcohol and that, so then I moved into that. So I quit that for, you know, and then... I was introduced to cannabis after I was diagnosed with MS, and I wasn't sure how it was going to go. I have pretty severe muscle cramps and spasms in my legs. Yeah. And it really just kind of loosened things up, and I can walk better. I can walk farther.
Maybe not in a straight line.
Not in a straight line, but I can walk. And it also helps emotionally, you know, dealing with, you know, kind of the heaviness of what MS is, because there's also, you also get lesions in your brain, so it affects the way your brain functions. So I have a hard time, like, putting things together. Like, I will argue with Meg, and we're arguing the exact same thing, but sometimes I can't put it together that we're making the same point.
Yeah.
And she's even explaining that we're making the same point.
You're like, no,
and
I'm just arguing.
I'm like, no, we are going to fight about this.
that takes the edge off a little
bit. Yeah, the cannabis definitely
I'm sorry.
Levels
can we just
me
have
out.
A peanut butter
I'm
sandwich?
Like, let's just hug it out. Let's hug it out. Let's get some cookies and hug it out.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
How about, I'm sure there's some pretty serious medicine that you can be on too from an actual I don't want to say an actual pharmacy.
From a real doctor, real doctor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What we do for that is I turn up your microphone when you say it and you whisper it.
A real doctor.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
For MS, they call it a disease-modifying therapy.
Okay.
So the goal is there's no cure for MS. So
cool.
Yeah, right? Yay. Yes. The goal is to slow the progression down and hopefully not have any flare-ups in a year, but at least reduce them. So I'm on a self-injectable medication, so I inject myself three times a week with my own medication.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. The first one I was on for the first year and a half was an intramuscular injection, so you got to get it like down in the muscle.
Like in the butt or something
like
that?
Yeah, in the thighs and like in the shoulder. It was not good.
Yeah.
Producer Meg inside. Hated doing that one. She, cause there's some places I couldn't inject.
Yeah.
And she was a trooper, man. And she would just jab those in and
Oh, stop. That's crazy.
Yeah. So the stuff I'm on now,
you know, I'm like, I'm feeling uncomfortable by your problem. Okay.
Right.
Gross.
Sorry. Let me tone it down a little.
Yeah, thank you. Gosh.
Now I'm on one that's like subcutaneous. So it's just like, it's kind of like in the fat of your skin, so just
like diabetes.
Like a diabetic and
I
insulin.
I watched my brother do that.
Yeah,
he's not even thinking. He's like mid sentence.
Yeah,
and he's like,
yeah, it's the same
pump, yeah.
same thing.
Oh, cool.
So going from the intramuscular to a subcutaneous, it was like a breeze.
Yeah, right.
So I used to do it daily, but the company was. They developed another one where they basically just upped the dose. So now I do it 3 days a week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Does your disability cover this at all? Do you, does the medicine at least, does Obamacare help you? I don't know what it's actually,
yes.
Affordable Care Act or whatever
so
it is.
So check this out. This is weird. Now, I didn't even know this until I had to go through it. So I apply for disability. I get approved for disability.
Yeah.
You have to wait 2 years until you're able to get Medicare.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah, 2 years. It's a breeze.
And then, in the meantime, die.
Sure. Good luck.
Yeah.
So, luckily, I had kind of, I was on Meg's insurance for a while. But Medicare covers quite a bit. I mean, it's, believe it or not, now that I'm on Medicare, it's better than a lot of the insurance I had from private insurance.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And the great thing is there's a lot of foundations out there that help patients afford these medications. So the medication, it's a specialty medication, which means it's like $6,500 a month for my medication, which seems reasonable.
More than all of us make, I'm sure.
Right? Yeah. A month.
Yeah, great.
And then I get 3 months supply at a time. So when those come in, I handle it like gold.
Right.
But there's foundations out there, like my copay, even with my Medicare, is still like $1,200.
Oof.
Yeah. And these foundations basically take donations and they help people with copays. So I go through a foundation called the Assistance Fund and they cover my whole copay.
Oh, wow.
So Medicare takes care of a chunk and then they take care of the rest. So
if you have some money burning a hole in your pocket, find, what was it called again?
The Assistance Fund.
The Assistance Fund would always like a donation.
Yeah. And there's foundations like that all over for all sorts of other diseases and medications and stuff.
Wow, man, that's crazy. So you're on a mixture of super expensive medicine as well at the same time as getting yourself from the MMJ store down the street. Right. Is there like a clinic in Bremerton that you can go to get the medical?
Yeah, there is.
That's cool. Yeah. I don't know what it's like outside of, there's about 1,100 of them on Lake City Way up here in Seattle. And then after that, it's...
Believe it or not, even in the past year, they've been springing up all over. So it's definitely not hard to find.
A couple more things here, real quick.
Yeah.
One, you have this cane that we were talking about. And it's not just because you're a snappy dresser,
but
it's because you now are having numbness in your legs, and your motor skills aren't what they once were, and so you're using a cane. But you have like a fancy cane, man.
Yeah.
It's really cool looking.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
And it's someone designed this for you, or what's the story?
So the deal with this is, I reached out to this rad company called Top and Derby.
Okay. They sound rad already.
Yeah, Top and Derby. And they make... There are these like rad dudes from Canada who decided canes don't need to look like...
Like my 78-year-old father would use?
You know that like drab medical gray that everything is?
Yeah, exactly.
With that
put
horrible...
a tennis ball on the bottom of it and you really got something going. Yeah.
Yeah, so these rad dudes make this cane that's solid walnut. and it's sturdy. It's got this super rad handle, and they decided to make the tip of it that touches the ground look like a shoe.
Yeah.
Right?
It looks like your Chuck Taylor's walking next to you, man.
Yeah,
it's got
that waffle print on the bottom, which is so cool, man. Yeah, yeah, these guys, they know what's up.
So you can always see where you've been because there's a couple footprints, yep. maybe not exactly evenly laid out, and then another little bump from the cane.
Yeah.
And maybe I didn't catch this, but are they doing it for people with MS in general?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or
so it's got I the forgot orange, about that part.
It's
yeah.
got the orange handle on it, which I think is the color of MS?
Yeah, yeah. We're
the Fight MS organization.
That's our color, I guess. That's our team color,
I guess. There you go. Yeah, Team MS!
Team
go.
MS! So they started this RAD Enable initiative where they have their regular color, so red, blue, black, and they decided to make this orange one special. They made 200 of them, limited edition, and they're donating all the proceeds to the MS Foundation, which is
awesome.
Super cool. So if you buy it in Canada, the proceeds will go to MS Canada. Buy it in the U.S., they go to the MS Society U.S.
When it comes to MS, though, there's no borders, really.
Yeah, there is no borders, no. Yeah.
It's a rad can, it's a rubberized, it's really neat. And so maybe if you know somebody that has MS and you want to do something kind of meaningful, I bet you there's a price tag on that thing, but if you wanted to do something meaningful for somebody, you could support the fight against the disease they have and also get them a snappy-looking walking device there.
Yeah, yeah, topanderby.com, you can pick these up. They're pretty sweet.
What did it run you?
I don't know what the conversion is, but they're $129 Canadian.
We're about the same. It's probably $100
it's,
here.
Yeah, it's about $100.
Oh, that's amazing. And you have to use it every day, and it's stylish.
It's,
so
it's not just about function anymore. Like having something that looks good and goes well with my chucks and all that. It's awesome.
There's something to be said. I mentioned this earlier, and I'm sure someone will get mad at me for this, but there's something to be said about not stereotyping a condition. You're not someone that has an affliction where you're not a normal dude anymore. You just have a different path in life.
Sure.
And so in order to not look like you're fresh out of the medical center or out of like the Eastern Bloc, former Eastern Bloc, Soviet Union or something like that.
Right.
Having something with a little bit of style to it, I imagine, can be a confidence builder too. That like rather than like being afflicted, you're just living and part of your life is with a cane. And so I think little subtle things like that are so profoundly powerful for people when they're leading this journey, this fight against something.
Yeah.
So once again, your blog is wheelsandred.com, and it's your adventures through the Northwest. I'm sure we'll see producer Meg's got quite the eye and quite the hand with a camera, and so I'm sure we'll see your adventures while you're at Comic-Con over the next week or so.
Yeah, for sure.
Wheelsandred.com. Meg, if you would do me a favor and you would post something when you guys get done with this weekend, so that way when people listen to this, they can go and see at least a small peek of it, so they can see what it is, how you guys are living. Despite whatever might be holding you back, it doesn't matter. You're still going to do the fun things that we all like to do.
Yeah, she takes all the photos for Wheels in Red.
And it's fantastic. It's cool to see someone just kind of having fun. And everyone I know has a blog about something, and it just bores the crap out of me. But to actually be saying something, to actually be making a point, is really interesting to me. So
sweet.
Kellen Prowse, wheelsandred.com. Thanks for coming in again, man.
Right.
I feel
I'm stoked. I'm glad we could do it again.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And get downloaded and tell other people to download. Subscribe, would you?
You've been listening to So You're in Seattle with Gregor. Follow him on Twitter at Gregor1077 and find more episodes online at 1077theend.com. So You're in Seattle is a Burrito Butt production.
Yeah, you're a good dog, Chowder.